Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian. I'm a fellow small church pastor in the trenches with you, and I'm joined today by two of the best men you will ever meet, Joey and Colby. What's up, guys?
I thought he had two other people here for a minute.
I was going to ask that. Were we being replaced?
Yeah.
No, you're not being replaced. I just don't think that anybody that listens to us knows anybody better than you guys.
Then they don't know anybody.
Yes. We're sorry for your life situation. We're praying it gets better.
Although I'm blessed. You know, I'm blessed, and I can't deny
there
that.
We go. Yeah. What about you, Joey? How are you?
I'm dope, and I do dope things.
There we go.
That's good to hear.
It's backwards day. I like it. Okay. So speaking of backwards day, today we're talking about vision on the very first podcast release of 2022.
Yay! Yeah.
Again, we still haven't figured out how to do sound effects, so we are doing our own. So this is the vision episode, and honestly, vision is one of those buzzwords that gets thrown around. This is first day with my new lips, guys. Sorry, I'm not used to using them. Vision is one of those buzzwords that gets thrown around, you know, like missional or all of those kind of things. But the truth is vision is critically important for an organization. We need to know where we're going. I heard a great story years ago that an angel appeared to someone who had been born blind. And so this person had been born blind and had lived their entire 20 years of their lives without being able to see anything. And so an angel showed up and said, I will grant you the ability to see. However, here's the condition. If I grant you the ability to see, I will have to touch your memory and you'll forget everything you've ever known. And the person immediately responded, yes, give me the ability to see, even if you take my memory, because I'd rather be able to see where I'm going than remember where I've been. And I always remember that story about how powerful vision is. And often in the church world, we try to hold on to where we've been instead of looking at where we're going. And we're kind of like organizationally blind. You guys still love that.
That was a good story.
Yeah, I'm stealing that. Right? That's stolen.
It's in the bank, which I better write it down because I'll forget it since it's in the bank.
Those good preacher stories. That was good.
You don't have to remember. You can just go back and listen to the podcast.
I will. Yeah, but it'll be. Yeah, I will. Yeah, we're good. We're good. I'll listen to the podcast.
So a lot of us without vision, we hold on to the past. We hold on to our memories of how it used to be. And even I used to say that about the older generation, but I'm saying that about my generation because I've been at this church now for 8 years. And
you
I'm like, well, nine years coming up. You
are the older generation now.
easy, friend. Easy. But it's like, no, I'm Joey's beckoning me to the significantly older side. It's like, man, I try to hold on. Like, I've had some good days in my past. And if I were being honest, numeric-wise, man, our church is nowhere near as good as it was years ago. And I like to try to hold on to those memories of the past, and I'm kind of blind to the vision God would have for the future at times. So today, we're going to kick off this message to talk, or this podcast series, to talk about what vision looks like. So guys, what do you think about vision?
So I was, when I saw this one come up, I was like, I wonder how many pastors are out there going, man, my 2020 vision was perfect. How'd that work out for you, right? Yeah, just I just brought back the year 2020 and how we all celebrated 2020 vision.
Which was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
What?
I was so excited about 2020. 2020 is going to be the year. Woo! Yeah.
2020 vision. Yeah. Man, we're doing great. Yeah, like, well, how'd that work out, right?
I made it past the I messed it up now.
Senior moment.
The calendar, the Mayan calendar. Woo! Yes.
I thought he was going to say Y2K.
I still got batteries from that, by the way. So,
wait a minute. Wasn't the world supposed to end in like 88 or something like that anyway?
Yeah, all right. A couple times.
I remember that. You joke, but I remember being in school wondering, oh no.
Man, that's some good times. We'll have a history episode one of these days and just let Paul Joey tell us all the stuff that he's seen over here. What was FDR like in person, Joey? I'm just curious. I love you, bud. So vision's important, man. It's like it's a key element to an organization. It kind of helps us know this is what it is that we're trying to accomplish. And sometimes, as Colby has painfully brought up, we have visions for stuff, and then global pandemics step in and situations step in, and we have to kind of adjust the sails to our vision. What do you think is one of the biggest adjustments that maybe you had to make over the COVID period to your 2020 vision?
One of the best adjustments I made was I quit hugging people.
That's right.
That was awesome. I mean, I was like, oh, I can't hug you. And I still, last person I hugged, I had to get tested afterwards. So please, no hugging. I love this. I mean, this is perfect. I
feel like that's your dating history.
I'm not much of a hugger. And so it's been one of those great, great adjustments that we were able to, get away from.
Yeah.
That is a good question, and I don't have a good answer to that question.
I like throwing these questions we don't have in the notes out to see how quick you can be.
Yeah, because I was like, that's not number one.
So what was the biggest one that you made?
The biggest adjustment that I made is to keep doing ministry. Like, because so much happened, and it's just like, you guys know me. It has to be my way or no way. Like, there are two ways to do things, my way and the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And my way got changed so much by Yahweh. Okay. Sorry, guys. I'm about to go see my kids, so I got to get back in dad joke mode. But really, man, the biggest adjustment for me was like being okay holding things loosely.
Yeah.
Oh, we might have to shut down again. I got to be okay with that. Or we might have to keep the kids in the sanctuary for the whole time. I got to be okay with that. We might have to go back to social distancing. Well, whatever it is, I've got to be okay. Because in my mind, I used to blame part of the reason why our church wasn't growing was because we didn't have the order of service like the bigger churches do. And, well, now this whole COVID stuff is messing up our order of church. We can't pretend to be the mega church down the road because now we've got a different order of service. And God's just like, you really think I'm not bigger than that? Like, come on, bro. Like, so that's been a big adjustment for me of just taking my hand off the wheel and trusting that Jesus is really in control. So now that you've had time to think, Joey.
I'm still
there
drawing a blank.
Hey, you keep it
I thought for sure
mind.
He was just stalling so he could think of something.
I know. He's actually listening to me instead of thinking about
it. I was.
He's being a good friend. I like it. So, friend, that's been it on this podcast. We're just showing you how good of a friend Joey is. So let's just jump on into a little bit more of our official questions for Vision. How's that sound, Joey?
That sounds better.
Well, here's the first one. Why or why not is this a good time to cast Vision?
And just so if somebody's listening down the road, this is January that this went out. And so it's the beginning of the year. And so I would say why this is a good time to cast Vision is people are already thinking about New Year's resolutions. As this is going out, they're probably still doing those New Year's resolutions. There's a few more days before.
January 19th is Quitter's Day.
It's Quitter's Day. Yeah. January 19th is usually where people end that. And so people are thinking about what is this next year going to look like? What are we going to do this next year? And so it's a good time to put the vision for the church out there so people can have that in their mind.
So you're telling me that we can strategically use the calendar? Wow, that's really weird. I do want to say to you guys in the room and those of you that are part of Small Church Nation, I'm not going to hit you with that new year, new me stuff. I'm going to continue to be that same old belligerent turd that you guys are used to, okay? So I'm not changing. This is the show, and we're not changing it, okay? So this is a good time of the year to cast vision. Kobe, why or why not do you think it's a good time?
Well, I think it is a good time. I think it's always a good time to cast vision. You got to know where you're going. You got to know how to get there, and you got to know why you're going there. And so I think it's important to cast vision all the time, no matter what's going on, cast vision. And we're going to get into more of that, the problems with not casting vision. But when you don't know where you're going, I mean, I heard a great story not too long ago about an angel that was going to touch a blind man's brain and he was going to lose his memory. And he was okay with that because he was going to be able to see where he's going and not remember where he's been. It was a great story, great sermon material. But anyway, you got to know where you're going and you got to continuously tell people. As pastors, we know the vision of our church because it's probably on a board in our office. It's probably on letterhead. It's probably written somewhere. Somebody probably has it
tattooed.
Written on the
tablet of my heart, brother.
You know, so we deal with the vision, the mission, the vision, and the core values of our churches every single day. But most of our people only see it on Sundays.
Mm. Yeah.
And so we have to be doing more of casting that vision.
And you have in your notes here, I think, an important thing to highlight. You have most importantly, the why.
The why, yes.
Why sales, if you will. You can sell the why. They need to know the why. And we live in a generation. I grew up in a generation way back then that if your parents told you to do something, you didn't ask why. If you wanted to be upright at the end of that question.
If you didn't want to have to eat your dinner through a straw.
Yeah. You didn't ask why. Why? Because I told you so. That's good enough. But we don't live in that society anymore. We got to sell the why. We got to tell them why. And you've got to know the why. And that was the biggest problem, I think, is people would ask why. And if you didn't know the why, you put it off. That's because I said so. No, why? Why is that important? What is that going to change? What is that going to do? You've got to know the why so you can explain the why.
And I still have that struggle because the why is because I said so. Mm-hmm. I mean, that military part of me comes out. And, you know, I have a volunteer that's like, why am I doing this? Because I told you to. You know, so I fight with that a lot because that is, I mean, it was ingrained in me. I had my very first supervisor told me that, you know, somebody's going to tell you to jump into that pond over there and you better come and tell me about it so that I can go take care of them. But you better be dripping wet when you do it. Hmm. And so if you're told to do something, you do it. And that was ingrained in me for so long that even as a pastor, I have to fight the desire to just say, just do it because I told you to do it. I have to give them the real why. Yeah. You know, I'm doing this for this reason.
I struggle with that too, especially, you know, we're pastors of small churches. Our churches, all three of our churches are 60 or less in terms of regular attenders. And so when you're in a church of that size, you're accessible to everybody as the pastor. And everybody feels like they have that just right to go up and stop you before you go up on the stage and preach. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, I love being accessible to people. However, one of the downsides when it comes to vision is a lot of people, I get frustrated with having to explain why to every single person. Because I'm like you, Colby. I just did a whole dang message on why we're doing this. How in the world didn't you hear what I already said? Don't you trust me as a leader? Like, you call me pastor. Let me be pastor.
But Pastor, I wasn't there that Sunday.
Well, then why weren't you here? I need to start with your why. Yeah.
Go listen to the recording.
Yeah. I start twitching. And
I'll say this. One thing that's been a game changer for us is going to regular Sunday morning team huddles. And it's real simple. It's like a 10-minute thing we do before every service. And in that, I always talk about the why. Hey, today, man, somebody's giving Jesus a last opportunity. Today, somebody's coming into this building, and they need what you have to offer. So when I tell you to not stand there and talk to your friends and ignore new people or whatever it is, when I tell you to be on time, when I tell you to be here, here's why. Now let's pray that God will bless this why, because we know he already is. And it just helps keep the vision in front of them, because I've heard before that, like, vision leaks. So what does that mean when it says that vision leaks?
So Vision Leaks was made popular by Bill Hybels. Probably not the greatest example to follow, but still a true statement. Vision leaks. And so I cast my vision to the church, the vision that I believe God has given me for our church. I cast that every January, and that's it. It's on a bulletin board. It's in the bulletin. It's on my computer. It's on a board in my office. So I see it. So I don't even think about sending it on to other people. So it leaks out because it's not reinforced. It's not set in front of them constantly in front of them in a way that they will know when they see it. That's our vision. That's what we're doing. That's who we are.
Yeah.
And so when I say it in January and I don't say it again until June or July, when I notice that everybody is looking at me weird whenever I say something about the vision, then I mention it again and they're like, what is that again? And so then that's when you know that it leaked out of their memory, and that's the problem.
So you say vision is like a leaking radiator. It's gonna drain, and you got to keep refilling it.
He doesn't know what you're talking about. He drives a Chevy.
Yeah, I don't have a leaking radiator.
Set him up.
There you go. For the Ford drivers out there.
Oh, man, he looks mad. I haven't seen him look this mad since, I don't know, a couple of minutes ago. So, yeah, it's like a leaking radiator, something you got to keep constantly doing. I've heard it compared to, like, taking a bath. Like, you got to keep bathing in order for the bath to work, right? Like, and I'm sorry, guys. Is that why you sit so far away from me? You know, don't answer that. I don't want my feelings to be hurt.
We're socially distanced.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. So then here's a question, and it's a follow-up question with that. How do you plug the leak so you only have to cast it once?
That's what I want to know. With the radiator, you replace the radiator, you fix it, and then you don't have to worry about that anymore. So how can I do it and just do it once? What's the magic? What's the secret here? Because I don't want to keep saying this thing over and over and over again. Let me be able to say it once and be done with it, please. So please tell me.
Okay, so if you're interested in finding the answer to that, we want to invite you to join our Patreon group where you can pay $10 a month for every person to be involved with this special behind the scenes stuff. So here's the thing, Joey. How do you fix that problem? You ready for this?
Yes.
Here's how you fix a leaky radiator of vision. You talk about it all the dang time.
I got to keep refilling it.
Keep refilling it. Keep refilling it.
Let me say it again. See, I'm having to do it again, right? You just got to keep doing it over and over again. I heard somebody say this, and it makes me sick, but it's true. You have to say stuff so much to where it makes you sick when those words get in your mouth. And when you get to that point, your people have just started to finally listen to it.
Oh, okay.
And I feel kind of phony. Like when I'm, hey, guys, welcome to Forward Church. Our mission is helping people move forward with God. Well, people don't hear that until I keep constantly saying it. Over and over and over and over again. Because you're always going to have that one who's just not, they're off in left field picking daisies, not paying any attention to anything. And you just got to keep saying it over and over.
So how I fix leaky vision is I keep filling it up so it can keep leaking out.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, listen, most things in life that are good, you want to do them more than once. So vision is good. We got to make sure that we keep going back to the well and filling that
bad boy up. You need to expect that they're going to forget it.
Yeah,
it's human nature, by the way.
I mean, how many things in the podcast that we even had written down in our notes that we forgot to say?
Yeah,
right. Well, I mean, let's be a little bit more spiritual too than that. Have you forgotten any of Jesus' parables? If I were to ask you where the Sermon on the Mount is found, where is it found at?
On the Mount.
On the Mount, right. Yeah, that means Jesus was riding on a horse whenever he was delivering that one. But yeah, like, we forget the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going through the Bible in a year, and there's parts in it where I'm like, what? I didn't know that was in there, and I've read this thing so many times. Like, so that's just human nature. And this has been a frustrating thing for me to learn as a leader, is that my job is to constantly reinforce the big picture things of the ministry. And if I'm so bogged down in the smaller things, then I'm missing the bigger picture things. It's like that training that we were in a few years ago about the difference between somebody who's self-employed and who's a business owner.
Yes.
And like to make it long story short, self-employed people, they're there doing a lot of the work, but the business owner doesn't have to be there doing the work. The business owner hires other people to do the work, and then the business owner focuses on the bigger picture of the business, and that's kind of where we have to be as senior leaders.
Yeah, the self-employed runs every system. He is the system. Business owners develop systems so they can put people over them and run the systems for them, and then they can just run those over a system.
Yeah.
It was a great illustration.
Really great illustration.
We talked about in the last podcast how we're upset because our people don't seem to have the urgency that we have of refilling the church up. But that's our livelihood. It's our livelihood to know this vision. It's not their livelihood to know the vision.
Yeah.
And so that's why we got to keep, it's not as important to them as it is to us.
Yeah.
I don't know why it don't make sense. It's the house of God. It should be important to them.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not important because it's not what they live and die on, unfortunately. Yeah.
One of the biggest illustrations for me that has just made this light bulb go off in my head is I heard a preacher say one time that we can preach on a time limit. And now me being Pentecostal, I'm like, boy, you better get out of here telling them lies, right? But he said this. He said, don't tell me the Spirit was moving until you talk to your nursery workers and see if the same Spirit was moving in there with them. He said, because the truth is you had a lot of people in the building and they were giving you amens and making you feel good. And then I just sit and think about, like, we are literally casting a vision, guys. Think about this as senior pastors. We want our kids workers to wipe other kids' butts as part of their ministry to Jesus. We better have a doggone compelling why. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't even want to wipe my own kid's butt, let alone somebody else's. And you want me to volunteer for two services to do that? You want me to regularly do this? Like, my gosh, like, I didn't sign up for this. And we've got to have a compelling why that really cast that vision over and over and over again with them. So then here's the question. How do you cast that vision at church?
So how do I or how should I?
Oh, man. Well, that's pretty good. Yeah. Why don't you tell me?
So it's kind of like casting a fishing line. You throw it out into the deep and you just wait until something gets caught and wakes you up. You hook. So I used to do ice fishing when I was living up in North Dakota. We'd go out on the lake and we'd drill holes in the ice, put our shanty over top of it, and we would fish. And I would put we had these things called tip-ups. So you were in your shanty with a little rod, and you were fishing in the shanty with the heater on. But out in the cold, blustering snow, you had these tip-ups. And so that's kind of the vision I had of vision is it's like this tip-up. The way I do it is like this tip-up. So it's out there, and when a fish is caught, it will take off with the bait and start running, and a flag will pop up. And when that flag pops up, you look out there and you see this thing is waving at you. You go running out there, you grab the line, you set the hook, and you start pulling the fish in. It's kind of the way I do it here in church with the vision is I put the tip up out there, but I'm over here in my office taking care of my stuff. And when I see the flag pop up look, you know, we got somebody new coming in. Let's make a big deal about it. And so it's not the right way to do business.
Well, I think one of the ways, the correct way to do it is leverage these strategic times.
You see what just happened here?
I did.
You just said, I don't think that's the right way to do it. And then he said, well, here's one of the correct ways
here's
to do it.
Here's the correct way. So,
here,
so
dummy,
our consultant,
why don't you read a comic book, dummy?
Our consultant that we brought in to talk to you all, Joseph, Bobby Joseph.
Reverend.
He's going to go get a gun.
So what's the right way to do it, brother?
So if you didn't know, here in Small Church Leadership, we're trying to get some coaching stuff going on, but we also have a consultant that can come to your church and tell you how to do business. Joey, go for it.
One of the ways that you can do it, strategically use your calendar. Don't preach on vision in the summertime. Everybody's on vacation. Everybody's out. That's not the time to preach on it.
And can I also say, for those people that are there in the building during the summertime, don't gripe at them about people not being loyal. Those are the freaking loyal ones. It drives me up a wall to hear a pastor complaining for a sermon that nobody shows up to the church during the summertime. The very people that are showed up are people that are sold out. Like, give them some good stuff, man.
And so January, when people are thinking along those lines, would be a good time. As summer's ending and you're gearing up, getting ready for the season of ministry from that time that school starts back to time school ends is a season of ministry. You can be doing several things. You have your back to welcome home events or tailgate Sundays. You have your Christmas. You have your Easter, that season there. You want to ramp up and cast vision there. You want to do it in your leadership meetings. You want to do it in, we have a Sunday huddle like you. You want to put it on the wall. Get places where people can see it. Put it in your communications. Feed it into your sermons. Feed it into your announcements.
There we go. So put it all over the place.
All over the place. Use multiple, cast not just one fishing line and not just one type of bait. Cast a lot of bait out there so you can keep it before the people. And one of the things that we fail at, and I learned this the other day from one of Sam Chad's books. I can't remember which one it was, but he talked about we generally chase after the 20% who is not going to adopt vision. There's 20%, no matter how hard you try, are not going to be convinced to get on board with the vision for whatever reason. They'll lose power. They just don't like change. And Kobe's got a thing on not liking change. But I'm sorry about that.
We don't have a cough button either.
No, we don't have a cough button apparently.
But if you're a part of our Patreon group.
20% just going to refuse. They're not going to adopt. But we spend all our energy and all our effort in trying to convince somebody who's not going to be convinced to come on board with the vision. He said, quit doing that. He said, ignore them. He said, give them the same information you give everybody else when you cast the vision. Let them hear it just like everybody else, but concentrate on the 60%. He said there's 60% of your congregation that needs to be persuaded that with knowing the why and people helping them, they can get on board with the vision. They just need a little bit more information. They need a little bit more help. And you got 20% that's on board with you. They're behind you. They like it. They love it. They're going to do something to push that. And so begin concentrating on that 20%, telling them the why, selling the vision, giving them, arming them with the information they need, and then send that 20% out into the 60% to persuade their friends to come on board with the vision, and give your, then have your meetings with the people that are in a 60% that can be persuaded. And so now you're never going to get 100%. It's not going to happen. As much as we like to think, the God vision, 100% is not going to get on board. But what could you do if you had 80% of your people on board?
So what are some practical ways to reach the 20% that you're talking about that are early adopters? What are some things you've done?
So just when you cast it, they'll come to you and let you know they're on board. But they'll show up. They'll start doing these things, and you see them. And so you gravitate to them. And then you start giving them more information, the why, and
on a Sunday morning, like before you go preach, or what are like practical action steps to get 20%?
Have a meeting about vision, and those 20% will show up.
Mm-hmm. Open it up to everybody, and that 20% will be there.
Yeah.
That 20% will be there.
That 20% will be there, and then you know which ones to give it to, and then give them permission to go out into the 60.
And they're probably the ones that are already in your Sunday morning huddle. That's probably your 20%.
Yeah. And what I'm really getting at is what I've heard so far is preach a sermon and then get with the 20%. And so what I'm trying to do is like tease out of us, here are practical ways to get with those 20. Because like when you send them out into the 60, what does that mean? What does that look like? I'm saying, I now send you out into the 60. Right? Like, so if I were to go to some people in my 20% and say, okay, guys, I want you to go out into the 60 with this vision, they're going to look at me and go, what does that even mean? What are you asking me to do specifically? So that's kind of where I'm kind of getting at.
I think they're your small group leaders. You know, you get your small group leaders to buy in, and they go into their small groups and they share that. You've got to equip them. I mean, it's just like inviting people. You got to give them everything that they can possibly handle in order to invite people, because it's just got to be as easy as possible. So I think it's your teachers, it's your small group leaders, your just always got to have it in front of them. Sam Chan in Who's Holding Your Ladder, he also talked about having the mission, vision, and values posted all over the place. He put posters when he was at the Beulah Heights Bible College. He put posters of mission, vision, and values all over the place so that people saw them everywhere, so that it was now second nature to them because they saw it. He said it was in the bathrooms, in the hallways. He posted that stuff everywhere so that people would see what the mission, vision, and values were of the organization. And I think that's one of the things. I read that book, and then I came in and I created some posters and ordered them so that I could get mission, vision, and values posted all over the church, because I know them. I got to make sure other people know them as well. And your 20% will just show up. They'll be the ones that'll be like, hey, I know one of our values is this, and so this is what I think we should be doing. And they'll just start talking. They'll start grabbing the lingo and the language, and they'll start talking about it, and you'll catch it if you're paying attention to your people speaking. You'll catch what they're saying, and it'll be like, that's a vision thing that we're talking about. They caught it.
Well, good stuff, guys. So where would you coach a small church leader or pastor that's listening to this right here, the beginning of January? What would you say their next step would be for today?
So I would say that you got to know the vision. Because I know there's a lot of pastors out there that right now their vision is stay afloat. And so, you know, we serve a bigger God than that. And so we've got to trust the vision coming from God. Know the vision and then start preparing to get it in front of people.
Yeah, so if you're talking about the person that right now doesn't have any, that just, listen, we're just trying to survive right now, then my advice for them is you need to have a retreat, however that works for you. I push these retreats because they work for me. Get alone with God.
They work for, they work. Don't, you don't even have
they,
to put,
they work. They work. I started they doing work. Them too. They work.
Think about where you want to be in 6 months. So where does God want y'all to be in 6 months? And then once you know where you're going, then you can back build that by going, okay, what's the steps we need to do to get there? And you start building in the steps. And okay, what's the one we need to start with? What's the
Wait
first
a minute.
Step?
So you're saying that vision is more than just a statement we put on a wall? That I have to do something?
Yes.
I'm out of here. I didn't. That's not what I signed up
if
for.
If you got to keep, if you're telling me I got to keep saying it over and over again, and I'm telling you, you got to know the steps to get there. Yeah. What is the steps to get there? If your vision is to have 25 children in your children's ministry in 6 months, and you got 12 now, how do you get those other 12?
If you've got a young enough congregation, you might not want to push it to 6 months, but in 9 months, you can start doing a Song of do a Song of Solomon sermon series. All right, hey. Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say with the retreat is a very key component to this. Vision is prayed down, not thought up.
Yes.
And leaders like us, we brainstorm all the time. Our brains are always going. And we think up good ideas, but that's not how vision is. Vision is something that comes from the heart of God. Now, yeah, we're going to have to put our thinking caps on and kind of wordsmith it so it has this creative ring to it. But vision is something that is a burden from God. Vision is something that's prayed down, not thought up. And then in that, there's some action steps that we all have to take, like what you guys are talking about.
And sometimes we try to get cute. You know, we try to get flashy.
In this room is going to be accused of trying to get cute.
Not cute.
That's why we don't have a video podcast.
Right. We got a face for radio. So, but what I'm saying is you're trying to find the words to say. You're trying to get it so that it'll look good on a t-shirt or it'll, you know, look good on a banner or a billboard or something like that. There's a book, the pastors that I coach, I have them read the book, Lead Like Jesus by Ken Blanchard. And there's three chapters specifically that I want them to read. And it's about how to find the vision, how to cast the vision, and then their own personal mission statement as well, and how to write it. And so I have them take this book and read through it. When we get to those chapters, it's like very important that they figure out how do I write this? How do I word this out so that it is actually what we're capable of doing? I mean, if the vision is our vision for 2022 is to reach 10,000 people, let's get realistic. Or to bring in 10,000 people. Let's get realistic, you know, so our vision can be massive. I think it should be a little scary. I think our vision should be scary because then we have to rely on God to do that. But, how you word it and how you get it to the people is important. And so I that's one resource that I use to help pastors find that is, Lead Like Jesus.
Brian, you told me one time, when it comes to sharing your vision, something about the elevator. You got to be able to on the right of
The elevator pitch.
Yeah.
And so the elevator pitch idea is basically you get on an elevator with somebody. They're going to get off on a floor in, you know, 60 to 90 seconds. And if you can't clearly articulate what's on your heart in that amount of time with the elevator pitch, then you probably need to spend more time working on it. And it goes back to that quote. We brought it out in our preaching sermon hacks episode. The quote that's been attributed to Mark Twain: I wanted to write you a short letter, but I didn't have enough time. And the whole idea is that in order for us to be concise and for us to be intentional with every word we use, we need to really spend time working on that. So the way that works for us at Forward Church is a play on our name, but it's also how we define discipleship. Our mission is helping people move forward with God. So what does that look like? We want you to be connected with Jesus, connected with community, and serving. That's it. And the way we're going to help you do that is help you serve on Sunday and help you get part of other groups that go out and be connected other days throughout the week. So that's kind of our concise elevator pitch. Now, it doesn't sound sexy and it doesn't sound huge and humongous like, you know, we're taking the city for Jesus, but that's how we're taking the city for Jesus, because we want the big church to have a immediate big impact in your life. So distill it down. And this takes work, man. This takes work and intentionality and effort. And one thing that I would coach guys to do, don't have a burden to come up with a new vision every January.
Yeah.
Like our vision, if it's not tied to the Great Commission, it ain't God's vision. I'm just going to say it's not popular. Maybe even in this room you don't agree with me. But God never said, hey, go down there and be the best leader you can be. He said, go in all the world and make disciples. And so for us as leaders of our churches, if that vision is connected to the Great Commission, man, maybe you can have something that even COVID doesn't shake, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we still are making disciples during COVID era. We just are doing it differently. That changes our method, not our mission. So those are just kind of some things that I would say to kind of help make that concise.
Yeah, that phrase that you're going to use to set all of that off, it's got to be connectable to people. Sexy, I think, is the word that you use there. Like, ours is waking life to its fullest.
I love that.
And so that hopefully people go, yeah, I need my life awakened to its fullest, not just where I'm at now. I want more. And so when we say that's done by three ways: growing relationship with God, a deepening relationship with each other, and finding and living your purpose.
Whew. Sign me up. We were in a meeting with a pastor, and he has this card. And on one side is the mission vision statement of their church. And on the back side are all the places where they can sign up to serve. And he just blew me away. I've taken this and stolen it from him the whole time. He says when he gets in those rooms with the people that are looking to volunteer and serve in another place, he said he casts the vision first. He starts with the why first of, man, there are so many people that are in this city that are unchurched, and we want to create an environment for them where they can come and they can get to know Jesus, and forever their lives will be changed and their family tree will be redirected. And in order to do that, I need you to help me do this. And he flips the card over and shows all the places where they can sign up. Boy, you talk about powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Sign me up. Like, I'm ready to go now.
And not only do we need you, but you need us.
Yes.
That was part of his, you need this in your life. You need.
Yeah. 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 And so, like, man, vision, it gets to this place to where if all it is something we talk about and something that we, you know, put on t-shirts or letterhead, but we don't do it, then we don't have vision. We've got a hope.
Mm.
And Joey, you know, you did 75 hard last year. 75 hard is crazy difficult, and you did it, and you lost some weight doing it, and you got in better shape doing it, and I applaud you for that. I, on the other hand, started doing 75 hard with you, and I had a tiny little ankle problem.
Too soon.
Is it too soon?
I'm going to have to leave the room for this part.
And I didn't finish it. And it was my idea in the first place. And a lot of times that's how we do vision. Well, it's January. It's time to cast a vision, and we'll do 2 or 3 weeks on a sermon series on what we're going to be. And then we don't be that. We got to be that.
Yeah.
We got to do that. And so I would encourage you, if your vision statement has these big lofty words and these big oohs and ahs, if you can't directly trace that back to one or two things you're doing actively in your ministry regularly and you're checking up on, you're budgeting towards, you're putting leaders towards, that's not part of your vision. Your vision is what do you do? That's part of your vision. You may not have articulated that. For me, in my terms of my health with 75 hard, my vision for my health, for my life, based on how I live, is I'm just going to die early. That's my vision statement, because I'm not getting up early to exercise. I'm not watching what I eat, right? So vision, as Proverbs says, wisdom is justified by her children. Vision is justified by what we do. And so make sure that you can wordsmith the vision and articulate it clearly, but also it has to be tied to active ministries that you're doing in your church or ways you're leading towards doing that. And if not, then you just got – it'll preach good. It feels good when you say it, but if you ain't doing it
– And I'm going to say this. If you've got things going on that does not tie back to your vision, you really got to look at start cutting those things.
Or changing your vision.
Yeah.
Like maybe you get into this and you realize that this is not who you're cut out to be, and you need to change your vision. John Maxwell talks about this, and I may butcher it, but just work with me a little bit. He talks about, I think it's in the law of timing that he talks about, but if you've got the right leader and the right people, but the wrong vision, you get a different vision. If you've got the right vision and the right people, but the wrong leader, you get a different leader. And so essentially he goes through all of these different things, and he says there are things that we can change in order to fulfill the mission that we have. And that's what I often have been coached in and think about when it comes into terms of our vision as a church. Am I the right leader? Do we have the right people? Is this the right vision and expression of how we're doing that? I think was it Stephen Covey talks about it in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, about getting the right people in the right seats on the bus. But for us, as small churches, we just are glad people are on the bus. And that's probably another podcast for another day.
We're happy we have a bus.
That's right. Yeah. And not busted, right? Yeah. And I love John Maxwell. He says this. He says, hey, he'll have meetings with some of his leaders, and he'll say, hey, I'm either going to change you or I'm going to change you. And the whole idea is I'm either going to change you to be part of this organization. You're going to think our way, do things this way, or I'm going to change you and put somebody else in your spot. That is so hard to do as a pastor, but it's protecting the vision. I think when we shepherd the vision in a healthy way, that's an extension of us shepherding the people in a healthy way.
Yeah, if there's another vision out there, then you have division.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that the pastor understands that God's put you in the position to cast that vision. It's not somebody else's vision. You can't lead somebody else's vision. Too many times we have those people in the churches that they want their vision to be the vision of the church, and that's not who God has put in place. If God wants that person's vision to go, that person would be the leader of that church. And so the pastor has the responsibility of casting that vision as a leader. Now, they may want to seek some counsel, wise, godly counsel from elders or somebody like that in their church, but ultimately the senior pastor is the leader of the organization and has to be the one that casts that vision.
Yeah.
I can't get up in the pulpit and cheerlead our women's ministry vision because I it's not mine. And I can't cheerlead our youth ministry vision because it's not mine. Now, it all ties into the main church one, but I can't lead somebody else's vision. And so it's important that we understand that we have been put in a position to lead that vision, so lead that vision.
And that's something that Brian pointed out, it's not thought up, it's prayed down. Vision is prayed down. So it's your responsibility, Pastor, to pray that vision down.
And good, you said it too, Brian, there, and I thought it was important that you don't have to come
Everything I say is important.
It is, and I'm trying to hold on to every word. But it's not a bad thing. Don't think that you have to have a new vision every January.
Yeah.
You know, the vision that we've come up with, the vision statement, the mission statement, the core values that we have here, we've carried them. We're carrying them on. And so I don't believe that God says, okay, new year, change it.
Yeah. If you can accomplish your vision in 12 months, you probably shouldn't call it vision.
Yeah.
You should just call it like a mission or a goal.
Yeah. It's a goal for the year.
Which are different than vision. We're specifically talking about vision. We can get into goals later because goals will help us accomplish vision. But vision is like, this is our organization. Like McDonald's, their vision is to be McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
You don't see them dabbling in selling wood. That's what Lowe's does, right? And so, like, our big picture vision is this is the expression. This is the, it was really, I'm telling
you,
man.
That was good.
Listen,
there is
honey dripping from my lips today. Like, this vision is our expression of how we're fulfilling the mission of God. And we think that we can help people move forward with God and the ways we're doing that. And you know, obviously, you guys, your own personal reflection of that in your churches and your ministries. And this has been good, man. Like, we should probably turn this into a series talking about vision, mission, and goals and all that.
So when does vision change? I'm going to ask the question and maybe try to answer it. When does vision change? I think vision changes when you are moving to a new level. So let's say you get up to 100 and now you need to break the 100 barrier and move to the 200. Then vision might change at that level when you get to the next level. Vision may change to carry you to the next level.
Do you think that will be vision or the way that you accomplish the vision?
It could be both.
Could be both. Yeah.
It could be. It may or may not. Our vision is to live with Jesus, invest in others, and equip disciples. And so that's not going to change regardless of how many people we have, whether we've got 30, 100, 300, 500, doesn't matter. That's how we believe we are going to be, that needs to be our vision. That's how we are going to live. And so, it may change, and I think God will make that clear to you. Yeah. It may not. Like you said earlier, it may be something that you're looking at the ministries that you're doing and you realize, man, the vision that we have is not what we're doing. So maybe that's when it changed, is now your ministries are doing something differently. And so you change your vision to what you're doing, or you change your ministries to what your vision
is. That's how I would answer that. We have a church in town right down the street called Rescue Church. And they used to be, was it Bethany Baptist or something like that?
Yes, Bethany.
And they looked at the people that they were reaching and the community they were in, and they realized they were reaching a lot of people that were down and out, people that needed recovery, people that needed rescue in their life. And so they looked at the passions of their people, that they that their leaders. They looked at the community they were in, and they looked at what they could do with what they have. You know, we say all the time at Small Church Leadership, dance with who brung you. Well, they realized that their mission and vision was changing based on dancing with who brung them. And so they changed their whole, they rebranded and everything. They're now Rescue Church, and that's their whole mission and vision is that. And I think that to, the way that I would very much cautiously advise us to look at changing our vision is dance with who brung you. We had a coach one time, Wayne, who said this to us. Your church is going to be best suited to reach the people that are like you because that's what you understand. I understand my struggles. I understand my tax bracket struggles. I understand on a different level kids than you guys do. Now, you guys are older. Your kids are older and all that. Colby, even you're a grandparent. So you understand that differently than I do. And so if you've got a church full of grandparents, we always want to be reaching generations, right? We always want to, and we always say, well, we've got to reach the younger generation. There's older generations out there too that aren't getting the gospel preached to them. They need to be reached as well.
Yes.
So maybe you look around and you're like, man, we've got a church full of older folks. We're going to try to continue to reach the younger folks, but we also are going to try to work with what we've got, dance with who brung us. And I would be very cautious and turn the ship slowly when you're changing vision because you got to get all the buy-in. You got to make sure it's a God thing and not a you thing. I think a lot of churches make a mistake in that scenario I said where they got a bunch of older people and they think, we just got to get a young pastor. And a young pastor will bring young people in. That's just not true. That's not true at all. And may not even be who God's calling you to reach. Mm-hmm. We have a pastor in our denomination who's in his 60s, and he felt like God called him to move to a retirement village and plant a church for retirees. Praise God for that. We need that. That's his vision. He's dancing with who brung him. I think that that's something that's important to factor in.
And so talking about maybe another podcast, maybe it's not the vision changes when we get to the next level. Our leadership ability changes.
Yeah, leadership ability, the way we accomplish that vision, all of that. Like even with the weight loss stuff, we're talking about, well, right now, here's what we're doing. And then eventually we're going to look at macros. And then eventually we're going to look at something different. And, yeah, absolutely. And this is stuff I wish people had told me. I thought going in, you just cast vision on the first Sunday of January, and then because you've casted it, thus saith the Lord, everything's going to fall in place. There are so many variables that go in with this.
I prayed it down, so now I cast it, and God's going to let it go, and I don't have to do it again.
And I changed it every year. I mean, I would roll every January.
How exhausting is that?
Every January, I rolled out something new. And I mean, in 2019, I rolled out a new one. 2020, I rolled out a new one. And I'm like, you know, I'm done doing this. Here's what our vision is, and it's not changing. And so I don't believe it will change because it's pretty solid, and it's who we say we are. Now, it may change because it's not who we really are, and we got to evaluate that all the time. But I was rolling out something new and rolling out our vision is different than rolling out our goals is different than rolling out our vision.
And
that's where we get tripped up sometimes. Mm-hmm. Is we roll out something and it's not necessarily a vision. It's our goals for 2020, goals for 2021, goals for 2022, and we roll those out. And that's different than rolling out vision.
Yeah, I agree with that. Even I've said that several times, our vision is helping people move forward with God. That's not really our vision. That's our mission.
Yeah.
Our vision is to be a relevant contemporary church that shows people that Jesus's people are not jerks and that it's okay to be part of church. Like that's real. We just want to be a good local church. That's it. We don't want to be a powerful mega church with multiple campuses. We want to be a good local church that reaches people. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? Well, we have vision initiatives, mission initiatives, different things like that. Oh, that's good, good insight, Colby. Yeah.
I have it every now and then.
Every now and then. It's because you've been in a room with Joey.
That's it. I've been hanging on every word you've said, Brian.
Ooh, yes. Well, this has been good. We've gone a little bit long, which is not like us. So I hope
you get pastors in a room and tell them to talk. Yeah, that's not like us.
Talk about vision, too, right?
Yeah, that's not like us at all.
So this has been good, guys. I am glad that you've been with us. We're looking forward to our next podcast when we gather together. as we're going to continue to talk about what it means to lead in the small church capacity. We love you and appreciate you. Joey's got something special he wanted to say just to you guys that are listening to this particular podcast.
Yeah, if you will go to wherever you're getting this podcast at the beginning of the year, and please give us a 5-star rating. We would highly appreciate that.
That's 5 stars, folks. And if they don't give us 5 stars, we're going to pray for them and love them. But you can go over to our social media page and tell us why. Right, Colby?
Absolutely. Go to Facebook and type in Small Church Leadership in the search bar, and you will find exactly who we are. And reach out to us, you know, because we do a lot of podcasts on what we feel. I mean, our 3 churches, what we're dealing with. Maybe you're dealing with something else, and you want some input, you want some help. Maybe it's just you want to chit-chat with us on social media. So get with us. We will communicate back and forth. Maybe you've got some pastor friends out there that you're like, man, they could really use this small church leadership stuff as well. Share it with them, and we will maybe put together some podcast series that our listeners are wanting to hear some stuff. Maybe they're just dealing with different things than what we've been sharing, and we're open to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't think that we are the end all to be all, or end all, whichever way that's said.
And listen, if you've listened so far to a whole year's worth of this, you know that we're not.
Yeah. So let us know. Maybe there's something out there that you're struggling with and you just need some help, and we can go ahead and we can talk that up.
That's it. Well, folks, thanks for listening with us and hanging out with us. We have been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, where we are prayerfully and hopefully, helpfully, all of those other things, helping the small church fulfill the big mission. I'm Brian.
I'm Joey.
I'm Colby.
And we'll see you next time.